East for Earth Wisdom, Conscious Living for Enlightened Being. Weaving practices of ancient wisdom into the now on Earth. Guided by the Tushtayan philosophy of Matriarch Maria Yaseborough, we co-create connection, community, and eco-spiritual living for the fifth world humans. Coming together in timeless traditions of indigenous earth philosophies by offering sacred pilgrimages, ceremonial rites, and apprenticeship. Be a part of life on Earth. www.yraceburu.org.
The oldest and most trusted station of its kind in the world. This is AchieveRadio.com.
Welcome back. I'm Hillary Rama. Thanks for joining me. We are live tonight. I've been away for a few weeks. I hope you've missed me as much as I've missed you. I'm very excited about my guest tonight. I've had the wonderful opportunity to join him on his radio show in New Zealand a few weeks ago. Vinnie Eastwood, a.k.a. Mr. News, is here for the next hour. We're talking alternative media. We're talking all the great things that we always talk about here on the show. And I'm excited about having him because he's got one of those personalities that kind of lights you up and keeps you going and makes you laugh. And he really talks quite fabulously about the importance of having laughter and humor in your life as we travel through very, you know, difficult times. He was born in the ominous year of 1984, the same year set out in Orwell's masterpiece, and probably a premonition of what he's here to do. And after working in the telecommunications industry, he quit when he noticed that when he lied to the customer, the companies profited and the margins went up. Unable to work or have an employer in the conventional sense, Vinnie went out with frustration at the mainstream media and began to make his own news by interviewing activists about real issues that truly affect New Zealand and the world. And he's here tonight to spread the love. Welcome, Vinnie. Thanks for joining me.
I'll spread the love like some nice New Zealand-made butter.
I don't know what it is, but it's the accent. Every single time I hear you talk, it just does it. Welcome. Thanks for being here. I'm really, like I said, I'm happy, excited about what you have to share with us. And so what's new?
Well, I'm glad I'm generating such excitement. Well, basically, I have just interviewed two very interesting people on my show at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. A guy named Tom Brown talks about expanding Earth theory and hollow Earth theory, and he basically channels all these research fringes of science, basically all that kind of stuff that you see in Fringe, the series kind of thing. These are the things he was actually researching way back in the day as the head of a serious organization. And he doesn't necessarily believe all the stuff that he's talking about. He just talks about all these theories that are not allowed to be talked about kind of thing. And that was so interesting because now he lives in New Zealand and he came from America. And so here we are on the raggedy edge. We've got Kiwis interviewing Americans, Americans interviewing Kiwis. We've got this alternative media freaking explosion. And conveniently, we all speak the English language, so we can appeal to many, many different cultures that happen to all share the same colonist eugenics agenda against them, which is great. Not great in the eugenic sense of the word. I mean, you know, let me clarify. It's great in the whole of humanity now has a singular entity to make its enemy, to unite us type of thing. Just like they stage false flags.
Vinny, all my listeners are now going, what is she doing? And I have to say, this is one of the reasons I'm having you on the show, because your energy is fantastic. Are we looking at an alternative media revolution? Are we looking at people like you and I stepping up, other people as well, all over the world, to take over what's really happening on this planet?
I got two words for you. In progress. Okay? It's inevitable. They know. Very, very certainly that the New World Order is being exposed and that they've got to either keep the genie back in the bottle, which they can't, or otherwise it's all out war. That's the only ways that they can really beat us now, is either by using brutal force. Like, for example, there's very little that I can do as a radio show host if somebody's got a gun in my face. I'm a smooth talker, but not that smooth. Mm-hmm. I can't talk a bullet out of my head. Sorry. Just not going to happen. I mean, in a pinch, I'd give it a crack, you know, and I'd sidle up nice and close to that bullet and I'd go, hey, man, you know, you really don't want to be lodged in the pineal gland right there, man. Yeah, why don't you just make a nice exit wound, just nice and tiny, so that it doesn't blow the back of my brains out, so I just have, you know, just a slight injury. Come on, man. I mean, you don't need that hollow point there. What is that?
What a visual. Yeah, what a visual. That's just such a way to start off the hour. What a visual. Vinny, what do you say to all of this stuff that's happening right now? I mean, I know you do a lot of things. You have a YouTube channel. You have a website. People can go read about your show, VinnyEastwoodShow.com. You have a lot of really fabulous platforms out there, and you've worked really hard to get out there. You interview some great people. You have a calling to do this. Do you feel a passion to do this? What really woke you up and pushed you out into doing this besides the work issues that I briefly touched on in the beginning?
Well, I want to get a bit more specific on the work issues because I think it kind of, it really well documents how I think. I was in a company and I was a really good telesalesman, basically a good talker. And by the end of my first year in employment, I went up from being able to sell a product to one in every 20 people that I called to one in every two. And I got promoted to be a... you know, supposedly higher paid or whatever, because I couldn't do it anymore. I'd become number one in my division. For 6 months, I had the highest scores on the board. Nobody could touch me. I was making a decent killing. And all I was doing was trying to be as truthful with people as I possibly could, but be incredibly smooth while I'm doing it. And I saw this as both a gift that I had, as well as a temptation. Because when you can manipulate people, regardless of your disposition, the temptation is always there to make more for yourself. And as a result, I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company. Because there was a lot wrong with the company. Ethically, just general things, technical issues, package deals, all those sorts of things that you would think would be very helpful. But then I found out something that has stuck with me since, is that some people don't like positive change. More to the point, they don't like anybody upstaging them. And I was told, sign this piece of paper and you can leave this company in the next 3 minutes and we'll give you close to $3,000. And I said, well, I haven't had a summer holiday in a long time. And that was my first experience with what happens when you try to do the right thing, is that certain people will specifically sabotage you and get rid of you. Because you make them look bad. And I was naive. I got arrested for dealing cannabis when I was 19 years old. And it completely changed everything. Police officer tells you, if you're honest with us, we'll treat you nicely, we'll go easy on you. And lo and behold, I told them everything that I'd been doing in explicit and graphic detail. I gave them all the pot and paraphernalia that I had. And they said, okay, great. Thank you very much. Now we're going to indict you. And then we're also going to make sure that you will never be able to travel to any other country in the rest of the globe because you have an indictable charge. No country will let you in. At that point, I also lost my girlfriend of 2 years, who I love very deeply. She was in Japan at that time. And I did the respectable thing. I emailed her and I said, look, I can't. We have to break up. I'll never be able to go to your home country. There's no way this relationship can work. You know, it just wouldn't be fair to her. And I lost all my friends as well. All these people that had been coming around to me to get pot or whatever, you know, we'd sit around, talk about their problems, and we'd shoot the breeze and whatever. I never saw a single one of them again after they all knew that I'd been arrested. You find out that you build your entire social construct and your source of income and everything. And this applies to all fields, illegal and legal alike. It's all based upon the pretext of a social interaction that wouldn't exist without the substance. Because after I got arrested, I stopped drinking, I stopped smoking, I stopped having caffeine, no drugs entered my body for 6 months. Guess how many friends I saw outside of that in that entire 6 months? Not a one. Give somebody a call on the phone, hey, do you want to go have a cup of coffee? Couldn't do that anymore. Want to go have a cup of tea? Oh, can't do that anymore. Want to go outside for a break and have a cigarette? No, can't do that anymore. You realize that the entire pretext of social interaction in our society is based upon drug use. How sick are our young people now? That's the kind of thing that happens. When you don't have a father for a lot of your life like I did, statistically, you're 80% more likely to develop a drug addiction problem. And I remember seeing my diaries I was writing in when I was 15, and I was saying, you know, people who smoke are all stupid and idiots, and they're all just losers if they smoke weed and whatnot. You know, I was like a prohibitionist, this kind of arrogant, I think I'm better than you, high school bully. Everything seems to be growing backwards because you kind of wind up reinventing your own trauma for yourself as if it's the only thing that's familiar and the only thing that's worth living. It was upon that realization much later on in my life when I was about 23 that I'd just been handed $11,900 worth of shopping mall vouchers. As a result of working for a month and a half for a brutal psychopath who would call me up at like, like I don't know, 9 o'clock, no, I think it might have been about 10 p.m. on a Friday night to write down the number of a client to call on a Monday. The kind of stupidity and invasion of personal space and aggressive treatment that I got from that employer echoed what so many other people have told me. That's the whole thing about psychopaths, man. They wind up being in positions of authority. Why? Because they know how to screw everybody else over and put themselves up there by tearing others down. And I see this happening to everybody. There's good people, particularly those that I have on my show, Hillary, people like yourself, and others that have experienced vast amounts of abuse, discrimination, all this kind of human ugliness that doesn't, in my view, represent any goodness of the soul in this human experience. This doesn't correlate to a progression here. It's backtracking. You don't wind up becoming better by attacking somebody else. You wind up becoming better by working on yourself. Everybody else acts as an example to everyone around them. When I started watching Alex Jones films and all of these documentaries, I watched like 100-something documentaries inside of 6 months before I got that $11,900 worth of Westfield vouchers. I had a dramatically altered world view from the time when I started earning a huge amount of money to the time that I stopped working forever. A very short time, only 6 months. And so in that very short period of time, I wound up getting myself a Mac computer and a digital handy cam. And I started going out to public protests, public meetings of all sorts of political persuasions. I don't really have any kind of partisanship. I think there's it's all false left-right paradigm anyway, but each and every paradigm exists within it, a tiny granule of sand of truth amongst an entire coastline of sandy shore. And I sought the opportunity to go to all these public meetings and find that grain of truth. And I put it up on YouTube for everybody to see. And everybody in the... well, I wouldn't say everybody, that's too generalistic, but heaps of activists in the New Zealand community are now on YouTube solely because of me. Okay? Huge amounts. Are now on, have audio archives and radio interviews solely because of me. Here's the reason why. I was so angry with the media for lying to me this whole freaking time, and I've always wanted to be a filmmaker, and I've always wanted to talk, so I used those natural abilities and those natural desires that I had, and I seized the opportunity to become what I wanted to be. There is a very credible link, in my opinion, between the intelligence of the population and the corruption of the media. The media has been hemorrhaging money since the 70s, apparently, has not been able to pay its bills. It has virtually nothing but military programming and propaganda in it now. Almost all the editors that I've seen of major news corporations around the world are either Bilderberg Group attendees or Trilateral Commission Group members or Council on Foreign Relations. And in New Zealand, we have the, similar organizations like the Royal Institute for International Affairs. These interlocking roundtable groups in New Zealand, we also have another one, interestingly, called the Business Roundtable Group. I wonder how ominous that sounds. Hey, we're the Business Roundtable Group. We're King Arthur and his freaking knights, and we're ruling over our kingdom over here. And we're also in Avalon, where, incidentally, we can't be reached.
Fanny, let me ask you something. Your story is compelling, and it's very personal, and it's also very heroic in many senses. Do you feel that, as I do, that a lot of people are going through this awakening process where they see the structures that have been put into place, that they have been a part of, and now no longer want to participate in as part of this overall awakening process where people really become well aware and well educated into the realities of this world? Do you see it as part of the necessary steps to take?
Nah.
In order to be able to do that, even though it's painful and even though it's difficult to go through at the time, would we be able to do it without it?
Well, you'd have no motivation to do it without it, is the thing. But I see it as rather than somebody making a choice, it's more like somebody being a fender bender, okay? It's like if you're on the highway and somebody crashes into the back of you and then they stop and then someone crashes into the back of them and so on and so forth, and all of a sudden, everybody's got frickin' whiplash! And all of us, and then, they never get into those accidents again. You know why? Because all of those people who got caught in that 12-car pile-up learned to watch the freaking road and not be swilling on some coffee or eating a burger or chatting to their friends on Facebook while they're driving. Or watching American Idol on their DVD recording player thingy. Or toying with their GPS. Or watching Pimp My Ride. Which, incidentally, you would only have all those gadgets if you had been a contestant on Pimp My Ride. But that's the whole thing. You don't understand the how aware you have to be and how diligent you have to be until you're in that car crash.
Why do we need the car crash?
It's the shock to the system. So dramatic. It's trauma based.
Is it necessary? Do we absolutely have to have a shock to the system?
We already have them all.
Or can
Hillary?
We do it? Hillary. Can we do it a little gently? I agree with you. I'm just asking. I'm just asking for because I know some people are thinking, why do we have to have the 12 car pile up? Why can't we? Or perhaps their awakening wasn't so dramatic. So maybe there is a possibility that we can do it without it. Do you think it's necessary? I mean, I just go back to the same question. Why do we have to go through it?
Point a finger at somebody who's made a huge difference in this world, either politically, with business, science, or in the media, that hasn't incurred a lot of wrath as a result. I can't think of anybody. Gandhi, he was persecuted hugely. So was Nelson Mandela. He spent something like 20 years in jail. American founding fathers had to fight wars and things like that, and progressive taxation without representation. All of these people, the only reason why they had to fight back is because they were being attacked. Okay? Why would you fight back against something unless you know you're being attacked? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go through some big kind of 7-car pile-up or whatever, but whether you realize it or not, we're all being attacked right here, right now. Aren't we, Hillary? So you don't actually... So you're right to a certain extent. You don't have to have that big car pile-up because your entire life has been in that pile-up the whole time. And the trick is realizing it. And it usually takes a big shock or copious amounts of information being ingested in a short amount of time before you realize what the real problem is and to start taking action. I've been having conversations with people recently who call me up, and they give me donations. And these are big donations for people that have got no money, like $200 or something like that, when they've never made a donation to anything before in their entire life. And they said it was because I inspired them to do something. How did I inspire them? Well, it's simply because they were listening to my radio show. They were listening to somebody who had already thought about what they were currently thinking and had already taken the next step. Okay? That's what I find is most important about the media, is that you can inform people so that they can get out of these freaking ruts that they're in and increase their performance. And performance, in my opinion, mostly exists in the mind and the heart and, in my case, predominantly in the funny bone.
And once we get there, what do? There's a lot of people that go through that information download impact, and then they wake up and they say, oh my God, nobody's listening. They look around their lives, they lose their friends. It's much like your awareness of not having people around you who don't want to do drugs. All of a sudden they all leave. Well, what about the people who wake up and they ingest all of this information, they process it, they integrate it, and then when they go to regurgitate it or talk about it to people around them, nobody listens. What do they do?
Well, it's funny, interesting. I've come up with a realization here while you were saying that. You know how we talk about waking up? What do we do before we wake up? We dream. What do we do before we dream? We go to sleep. But what do you do after you wake up? You get out of bed. What do you do after you get out of bed? You go to work. And then what do you do after you go to work? You come home again. That is what people don't realize, is that the answer to their entire life lies in their very own enslavement. It's the exact same set of events that you have to go through as a truther, as a patriot, as an aware person. Once you've woken up, once you've got all that information, then you've got to get up, okay? You have to get out of bed. Figure out what job you have to do. Me, I can talk, I can make movies, I have some editing prowess, I can put deals together, I've got a freaking ridiculous range of skills, none of which are the best on earth, but I just go and do what I can. Other people, they can do less or more or what. Some people are incredibly talented painters. They can make artworks. Some people are talented 3D designers. They can make logos for alternative media people. All of the concepts that we have our lives dictated by, you know, corporate concepts or political concepts or entertainment concepts to a certain extent, all serve to create this sort of mindset in people. And once you've woken up, you can cast those off. What people get stuck in the middle, though, is that they keep trying to absorb information, and instead of putting themselves into action. Information is absolutely worthless unless you do something with it. Kind of like those people who record a public event, and their administrative official says something that's very dodgy or very telling, but they refuse to put that video out online for other people to see because they want to play their cards close to their chest, kind of thing. Seems a little selfish to me. I believe that information is valuable, most valuable, when it's given out to other people and shared, right? That whole mindset of sharing has become almost eradicated in our modern society with the fact that, hey, it's actually quite difficult to survive, and if you were sharing out everything with people and they weren't sharing back, then, hey, you don't know where your next meal's coming from. That whole giving ethic has sort of disappeared. My opinion is that there are many, many giving and loving and caring individuals out there who are intelligent, mentally balanced, skilled, capable, ready, willing, and able to serve humanity in whatever way they can, okay? And they're only looking for where they fit in this jigsaw puzzle. And I got news for you. You can fashion your own place into this jigsaw puzzle. You can change and reshape the whole freaking puzzle itself. I had one idea in my head when starting to go out here, and it was a concept of this website called Guerrilla Media. And the idea of Guerrilla Media is that you have all of these top patriots and commentators and people from all over the world contributing to a central website with one central feed, and you can search it for whatever, and you will get the best information from the activists in your community. Those people who often are unemployed, because they just refuse to work, kind of like I have, and they spend all of their time instead researching, confronting these politicians, that kind of thing. And the only reason why the public is so monstrously misinformed is because those people are not given the platform. You don't see them on television telling the entire country that your prime minister is a fraudster and a derivatives trader for Merrill Lynch. They don't tell you that kind of thing, because that would change the realm of political thought to something that's beyond the left versus right argument. They don't want that. So what we need now is, instead, you just use those people who are volunteering their service to humanity anyway to contribute to this website. I bring them on my radio show. They talk for an hour. I archive it for them, put it up on YouTube for them, so that they can hopefully get some of the coverage that they deserve. And it's only through using our activists and our volunteers as the pundits to the people that we will ever, again, have some form of credible media. Media was supposed to be the fourth estate, to keep a watch on the powerful and the wealthy and those who require secrecy to come through winning with their plans, okay? It's the media's job to expose all those forms of secrecy. Because if they don't, there is no telling how much damage can be wrought on the public, how much erosion your sovereignty will endure, how much chemicals and poisoning agents will be put into your water supply and put into your air, how many doctors will be suppressed when they come up with cures for cancer or other diseases, how many lawyers wind up getting disbarred because they try to prosecute corrupt judges. This is all the hallmarks and symptoms of a profoundly sick media. Because it's only through the convenient darkness that this evil is allowed to prosper. And I shine the spotlight on these frickin' cockroaches only by giving the limelight to the activists who fight against them. They're already doing it. But they're not broadcasters. They're not filmmakers. They can't do a website worth a damn. They can't write scripts. They don't have that skill set. Okay? Just like
perhaps,
I don't... Just
perhaps
like, I'm sorry. I just want to finish. And it's just because... I don't have the skill set to research, okay? That's why I need them, okay? I can't be bothered reading huge, copious quantities of documents.
But you already have. You've already gone through that. Oh, you've already stepped into who you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So my thought is, if somebody feels the kind of passion that you have also felt, when they wake up through the informational download process and they realize the realities of the world, they may not be filmmakers or writers or be able to do a website, but every single person has some kind of passion. You found yours through always wanting to make films, through wanting to talk, through wanting to be heard on large levels. And so with your passion, with your unique blueprint, with your unique ability to come through at this time and be able to deliver this kind of information to people using your passion and using your skills, you had to align to that first, though, Vinny, because if you didn't accept that and honor that and own that, you wouldn't be doing what you do. A lot of people who may have those same kind of things that you've experienced would just go round and round in circles. Oh, I'm not good enough to be a filmmaker. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. And they go through this internal script. So I think it's really important to everybody listening and to everybody who will listen to the archive of this show to understand that you have to heal. You have to get rid of the script that does not belong to you inside so you can align with that. And then you can go out and manifest it. You can get out of bed and go to work, and you go to work at what you love. And that's where you'll shine, and that's where you'll be able to lead other people into different arenas. I think that's why you're so successful.
Well, it's because...
And I think everybody who aligns to that would be the same way.
Yeah. I mean, it's because... have you ever heard of the internal monologue... the eternal internal monologue, right? People talk to themselves in their own heads, and they wind up talking themselves out of frickin' everything! You know?
They don't even leave their house. They don't even leave their house because they're so afraid. That's what we're really dealing with. If everybody could watch YouTube for 3 months or download documentaries and read articles by these people, we would have a whole lot more change and shift in this world if people could get out of themselves for 5 minutes and do what they're supposed to be doing in this world.
Yeah, and it's an isolation type thing. You know, in the movies where you have the main character and he's like this lone wolf type character, you know, he's very cool and he's very aloof and he always talks with a internal monologue and tries to explain everything to the audience as he courses about his beginning, middle, and end of his Hollywood manufactured story with technology and dangerous conspiracies that they really get from the real world, but there's no creative people in Hollywood left anyway, only military contractors. But here's the point. An internal monologue only has value to an audience. If you're talking to yourself, that's called schizophrenia. All right? That's the reason why people don't do anything, okay? It's because they're mentally ill. And it's no surprise because there are...
But they're mentally ill because they got that way. They're mentally ill because they have been trained in a world that is mentally ill. To some degree.
That's precisely my point. You have been poisoned so that your brain can't work properly. You have been poisoned with things like fluoride, for example, which is known to calcify the pineal gland, otherwise known as the third eye. Okay? These types of things like spiritual awareness and real health, real food, and real information have been contaminated. Now, here's the point. Because the truth is stranger than fiction, the difficulty then becomes telling which is which. That's why I operate under the assumption that I could be wrong about everything. I could be wrong about gravity. If somebody can produce some evidence that gravity doesn't exist, that the Rothschild family doesn't exist, that the Rockefeller family doesn't exist, that the Military Commissions Act doesn't exist, that PDD 51 doesn't exist, I will wake up the very next day quite happy that for the last 4 years, I was just insane. It would be an immense relief. Because it means that I'm no longer going to be exterminated. But unfortunately, kind of like the Shawshank Redemption, this prison planet is no fairy tale world. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that reality sucks. That's why everybody tries to escape it. They try to escape it with drugs. They try to escape it with sex. Try to escape it with vain entertainment. They try to escape it with procrastination. They try to escape it with traveling. They try to escape it by making new friends and forgetting about the people who tell them what's wrong with them. Stop running away. And you'll find out that you're much weaker when you're running, and you're much stronger when you stand your ground. And in my opinion, now that we have a globalized society with technotronic dictatorial control grids in place, I figure the jig is up. The time is, and always has been, right now. If you wake up today and you get out of bed and go to work, as I said, go to work fighting against the New World Order, then that is the perfect time for you to get out of bed and go to fight against the New World Order. Everybody lays in bed. If everybody had a choice and they didn't have an alarm to wake them up in the morning to go to work, imagine if you simply had a choice about what time in the morning you got out of bed and it wasn't commanded of you. Would you get out of bed earlier or later? When I have my girlfriend, for example, she gets up very, very early in the morning, and she has to press her snooze button on her phone at least 3 times before she gets out of bed because it's so early in the morning. And I get up maybe 5 minutes after her without needing an alarm of any kind, because I am very passionate, and I do 4 hours of work from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 a.m. Before my show starts. And most nights, weeknights, usually, I'll not go to bed until about 10 p.m. working. And it's simply because if you are passionate about it, it doesn't feel like work. It feels more like an honourable responsibility. I've been working on making myself the voice for my fellow man here in New Zealand. Nobody else seems to be punching into this realm to the extent that I am in my country, and I feel quite depressed at that, to tell you the truth, Hillary. I mean, it's like there's 4 million people in my country, and I'm the biggest there is. I'm tiny. I'm nothing. I'm insignificant by comparison to, for example, all the larger talk radio show hosts in the United States and the UK and elsewhere. Absolutely insignificant. But if your worldview is that I'm too insignificant to make a difference, whose mindset are you perpetuating? Is that you that really wants to feel insignificant? Or is it somebody else's mindset that's been imposed on you? Is that all your teachings throughout school and all of that kind of thing? That, oh, there's billions of people out there, you know, I'm not going to make much of a difference. I've had several phone calls from listeners, and I have changed their lives, like literally, including so much as getting them to not commit suicide just by listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. Some disabled people who become so depressed and paranoid about the New World Order that they thought it was all too much. And so they got depressed in the morning with Alex Jones, and then they laugh it off in the afternoons with Vinny.
Don't you find, though, Vinny, that, you know, you can get, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, but you can get so stuck in that rut. And that's a very dangerous thing. But I'd like to comment, too, on your wonderful comment about, you know, I'm so insignificant and running that tape. And what I always tell people is that somewhere, somehow along the line of your life, somebody told you that and you believed it. And so it integrated into your belief thought system, and it became alive within you. And then you went out and you manifested this dream world around you based on those lies, whether they're conscious or not. And as long as you continue to contribute to that, you continue to contribute to your dream, to the reality and manifestations of your world. And on a collective level, if we have enough people who believe they're insignificant and little nothings, then we have a world filled with people who think they're insignificant and little nothings. And it's quite an interesting concept when you meditate on that thought of how we create a world filled with so many people who allow themselves to be distracted into these superficial little eddies of nonsense that really don't do anything but suck your energy out through your skin and spit it back out.
Well, you see,
what happens to the one thought here. What happens when they become spiritually enlightened and they heal and they go through that and they say, I don't want to see this. This is something that I think is negative. I don't want to listen to people that talk about it or share articles or you know, just keep on bringing it up into my face. What do you say to the people that refuse to acknowledge this? And how do they get past that?
Well, thinking from a military point of view, it's sort of like in the old days of Jerusalem when it was sacked and raided and whatnot, or any conquest throughout history. It teaches the same very bloody and brutal lesson. Those without swords can still die upon them. Those who refuse to learn how to fight will have the fight taken to them by their enemy. It's a eternal vigilance against tyranny that I've sworn an oath to. It's making sure that that whole collectivist ideology, which is where that individual is insignificant thought comes from, that kind of socialist, Marxist, Stalinist, Nazi, corrupt banker type ideology, Illuminati, Luciferian, pedophile type mindset that psychopaths have been ravaging this planet with for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands of years. Because history keeps telling me the same story over and over, that as soon as you start giving people a hell of a lot of power over other individuals, once you value the group over the person, madness will come to the minds of the leaders, and tyranny will come to the lands of all people. And that is the same story all the way through history. It doesn't change. Characters and the regions may change, but it happens freaking everywhere. The first thing, the first casualty of war is always the truth. And it's only through the propaganda mechanisms that the media has currently become. And that's all it really is now. Mainstream media, believe it or not, is a propaganda mechanism of the New World Order, and only that. You may see positive stories on it, to be sure. They might be few and far between and not very well publicized, but there are positive stories there. And to those brave journalists, I salute them because they really did try and cut against the grain, and they have made works, although they may have had to compromise in the editing cutting room floor, they still have tried to work their best within the system to inform people. But in my opinion, if you're going to be trying to inform people and free people, doing it inside a system that was built specifically to enslave them is folly. So therefore, here's the idea here. When you talk about how people are, I don't know, trapped in their own mindset or whatever, when they think that they're insignificant. I remember what G. Edward Griffin said to me when I brought him on my show, and he incidentally put me on the Hall of Honor, G. Edward Griffin's Hall of Honor. I'm number 12 on that list. Oh my God, that was a good day. But anyway, He says that collectivism versus individuality, this is what it is. There's no such freaking thing as a group. No, seriously, think about it. Can you touch a group of people? You can't, can you? You can only touch individuals. Because the group is an abstraction, just the kind of thing like you can't touch a forest, but you can touch a tree. Okay? There is no such thing as a group, inherently. There is only individuals. And what the Communist Manifesto says about re-education, okay, there's a big part of the Communist Manifesto, is that if people say something that's against your paradigm, the thing that you should do is re-educate them, but before you re-educate them in establishments or whatever, it's to call them crazy, to say that they're insane, that they simply don't get it. How many people out there in the conspiracy theory movement, or whatever frickin' movement, spiritual aware, I don't care. We all know who we are, and we all know who the enemy is. How many people have had that happen to them? Oh, you're just crazy. Oh, you're going. It's just like, wow, it's amazing how prevalent communism is in the world today. Full-on Marxist communism. Isn't that fabulous, Hillary? How it's just crept everywhere. Right? With all these massive campaigns about, oh, reds under the beds or whatever. It was the communists telling you that they were reds under the beds, and they were controlling your government the whole time, and telling you to be afraid of an enemy that they were controlling, or staging, or manipulating. And the only reason why everybody got convinced is because the media was trying to convince them of it. Okay, Operation Mockingbird, CIA assets in the mainstream media, the Pentagon has openly admitted that they have people in the newsrooms writing the stories, giving them what to read, giving them the cues. It's a military intelligence psyop. Now, in my opinion, if the mainstream media won't do their job, don't fight them. Just replace them, because they're no longer relevant. Okay? That's my opinion. And it's not terribly difficult to produce better content than mainstream media, is it, Hillary? Because they edit out all the big juicy bits, don't they? All those really interesting things. Why do you think alternative media is freaking exploding? Because conspiracy theories are incredibly interesting. They make people think. They make them chomp at the bit. It is far more interesting than any Hollywood movie could ever be. But unfortunately, the directors don't get Oscars. They get knighthoods.
Kidding. Oh, we have a comment from one of our listeners in Texas. And Nick writes in, he says, I'm glad you have all this energy. You're blessed. But we don't all have that amount of energy. What do you say to that, Ben?
Well, I say that you should, like me, have ridiculously oversized caffeinated beverages. See, it's quite simple. If you don't have the means to do things naturally, do them artificially, and you will receive copious quantities of benefit from it.
That was just a great answer. I appreciate that. I definitely do. Thank you, Nick. That was a good question. But, you know, honestly, I think you do have the amount of energy, like Vinny was talking about earlier. When we start aligning with our passions and we start liking what we do and we start spending time doing that, we begin to find ourselves incredibly filled with positive, uplifting, healthy energy that actually makes it not feel like it's draining. For example, I can relate to what Vinny talks about because when I do my own research, I do get up and my schedule is very similar to his actually. And it doesn't feel like 4 hours to me at all. It goes by like 10 minutes. And it's because I love what I do. I absolutely approach everything I do with the same amount of passion. And that's how I'm able to do everything. People ask me that all the time. How are you able to be part of everything that you're part of? Well, because it doesn't feel like work to me. It doesn't feel like I'm making myself get up and go clock in someplace and do the everyday thing. I'm doing what I love. I love what I do. I love the people I meet. I love having conversations like this with my guests, and I'm sure you do too, Vinny. I meet some incredible people, and I am blessed to be able to do what I do because I love what I do. And if you can't say you love what you do, then you need to look at what you're doing and do something else.
Well, if you don't,
and so that's my answer to you.
If you don't love what you do, you wind up hating yourself. Okay, that's what I realized. I got depressed. I had panic attacks. I went to a job interview once after I had this all these terrible experiences at work, and the whole time I was just in my head going over and over again, this is wrong, you got to get out of here. You know, it was as if the walls were closing in around me, as if wearing a collar and cuffs meant more to me than my own freedom. And just imagine that. What does everybody wear when they go into business each day? They're wearing a collared shirt and cuffs. What does a slave wear? What does a dog wear? Do you feel like a slave? Do you feel like a dog? Do you want to continue to feel that way? The question the listener asked is, how do you do this? My question to the listener is, how can you not? There is no real choice. And what people do often is they spend most of their time thinking about things instead of working towards a real thought, okay? There is a process here. Most people, genius is the ability to skip the B and C, all right? Being able to skip from A to D without the B and C, okay? Not everybody's a genius. And in fact, conveniently, due to fluoride, it's literally halved the amount of geniuses. You only need to be off a few points in order to not qualify as genius status anymore. And sure enough, people are being dumbed down. And people are being propagandized. All of this stuff winds up in the deep recesses of your mind. There are so many things, so many problems, so many thoughts, so much news, so much information. And instead of thinking, well, there is all of that, but what am I doing? We think to ourselves, it is all too much, and I give up. Which is the direct result of a military campaign against you. The system is designed so that that will be the average result. Most of us are under mind control, whether or not we know it. I'm still very conscious that I'm under certain patterns of mind control myself. Anybody ever get a song randomly stuck in their head that you didn't hear it that day or anything like that, but for some reason the song gets in your head and you can't stop thinking about it? I don't know what causes that, but I'm pretty sure, but I'm fairly certain if I hadn't heard that song before, I wouldn't be able to hum it through in my head, would I? And it seems that all this strange stuff is happening inside my own mind. And you made a point there, Hillary, about the great thing about it is you get to talk to other people. That's probably the best piece of advice that you can ever give to anybody. All right, is you need to talk to more people. Okay, the more the better. In sales, this is the great thing that I can do is I can apply salesman skills that were previously used for personal employment to be used for personal awakening, and even to help awaken other people to start thinking in things of different ways. I mean, there's a couple of things that people say to me a lot. They say, wow, I never thought about it like that, Vinny. And I go, yeah, I get that a lot. And they go, wow, you're really eloquent, Vinny. And I go, yeah, I get that a lot. You know, and it's beyond, it's not fun for me. So to speak, to have people tell me that, I'm really, really grateful for everybody that gives me a compliment. And my problem with it, though, is it can probably manifest some description of ego, some kind of megalomania that exists within all of us, that sort of that lust for power and control. And the way that I've tried to counteract that is to surround myself and talk to, all the time, people who are anti-corruption advocates, patriots, truthers, ex-intelligence agents, musicians, authors, all of these people that inspire me, that do things that I want to do, that are also, incidentally, very good people, nice people to have contact with, good influences on your life. There are 6 billion plus people on this planet. I've had many friends over my life. I make friends really easily. Very, very few. I'm gonna say this, Hillary. Almost none, if any, maybe even one, of the friends that I've had in my life before the age of 20, before the age of probably about 22, when I started becoming a truther and a patriot, I have virtually no contact with any of them, except for one who's going to be the best man at my wedding later on this year. And it taught me something very important. It taught me something very important. This world has wondrous variety. And do not confine yourself to the people who do not motivate you, do not inspire you, or do not support you. You make a list of all those people that don't help you, who don't support you, who don't encourage you. And just stop calling them. And very soon, if they're good friends, they'll call you. And they'll say, bro, why haven't you been calling me? And you go, yeah, I've got a good friend who actually cares about me here. The rest of them you'll never hear from again. Because that's how shallow our social lives have become, and people become dependent on social interactions, particularly as it pertains to drug use. And I've got a great statistic on that in the Netherlands when they relaxed their laws between cannabis cafes, things of that nature. What happened was the usage rate in the general population went down dramatically. It was previously used by about 1 in 8 people. After the law changed, it was only 1 in 21 people. Almost one-third of people remained smokers. The other two-thirds, a big survey was done, I believe, and they were asked, why did you stop using cannabis after it was no longer a criminal offence? All said pretty much the same thing. My social circles changed.
We're out of time. We're out of time, Vinny. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to have you back on. That's the only solution to that issue. Where can people find your show?
You can go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and you can go to the Vinny Eastwood Show there. I also have a few other websites, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com, GorillaMedia.co.nz, that's .co.nz. And also my YouTube channel is Mr. News Guerrilla Media, all one word. That's Mr. News, MR News, stands for Media Revolution News, because if you want to have a revolution in the media, you've got to have a revolution in the mind. And thank you very much. Reverse it. If you want to have a revolution in the mind, you've got to have a revolution in the media.
That's right. And I agree. Thank you so much for being here, Vinny. And for all of you listening, I've been getting messages on my InQuick from all over the country and all over the world. Thank you for listening and for being here. Go out there and do something well worth it. Good night, everyone. I'm Hillary Ramo. And until next time, namaste.